Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marcia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Another prime minister has been sworn in Pakistan. Nawaz Sharif, however, he is dealing with the same problem as his predecessor. That is a continued disrespect for the country's sovereignty. This as the United States continues to operate its deadly drones in Pakistan territory. Washington says it has to operate the drones there to kill militants. However, the majority of the victims are civilians. This, as on Friday, 9 more Pakistanis have been killed in the latest U.S. drone strike in northwestern Pakistan. Can the Nawaz Sharif government put a stop to the drone attacks, and does it want to?
Pakistan's new government has summoned the U.S. envoy to Islamabad to protest the recent deadly drone strike and call for an end to such attacks on Pakistani soil.
This is counterproductive and violates our sovereignty, is against international law, and does not serve the very purpose for which the two countries have been cooperating in the fight against terrorism.
On Friday, an American drone fired 3 missiles at a house in North Waziristan region, killing 9 people. The attack near the Afghan border was the first since Nawaz Sharif took office on Wednesday. During his inaugural address, Sharif called for an immediate end to U.S. drone strikes, saying they violate Pakistan's sovereignty and territorial integrity.
This daily business of drones has to stop immediately. Other countries must respect our sovereignty and address our concerns as we respect their sovereignty.
He also promised to bring the chapter of U.S. drone strikes against Pakistan's tribal areas to an end. He, however, did not elaborate on how he would do that. The number of such attacks has significantly increased since 2009, when U.S. President Barack Obama first took office. The attacks have led to massive civilian deaths and have become a main source of friction between the two countries. Washington claims the strikes target militants, but a recent UN report shows that most of those who have fallen victim are civilians, many of them women and children. The American Civil Liberties Union and other human rights groups in the U.S. have questioned the legitimacy of the drone program that's been killing innocent civilians. A joint study conducted in the U.S. by the law schools of Stanford and New York University also show that controversial drone operations taking place on an almost daily basis have been terrorizing people in Pakistan's rural communities. Apart from death and destruction, the operations have led to substantial levels of fear, stress, and even trauma. All Pakistani governments have so far condemned the CIA drone attacks, but on the other hand, they've secretly shared intelligence with Washington. They've even allowed drones to operate from the Shamsi airfields in the country until 2 years ago. Now, only time will tell if the new premier would stick to his campaign promise to end the deadly attacks, or it would only end up being a promise to win more votes.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guests to the program, Pakistan Movement for Justice out of London, Atif Ali, and the director of the Center for Political Military Analysis, Hudson Institute, Richard Weitz out of Washington. Thank you so much for being with us. I'd like to start this off in London. Now, Prime Minister Sharif has said that he was against U.S. drones operating in Pakistan. And just a couple of days after his inauguration, we saw the first American drone attack, which killed several people. What message is Washington trying to give Islamabad?
Well, it's a pretty standard operating procedure for Pakistan now. There's a new government sworn in, a democratic government who came with a heavy mandate from the people of Pakistan. Well, this is quite contestable how they get this mandate and what terms they've been allowed to get this mandate. As a Pakistan Movement for Justice, Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, strongly believe that this current mandate is something that has been stolen away from Pakistan. And this drone attack, which should be called now by its name, that is arbitrary extrajudicial killing via flying machine, we call it drone. It's sending us a clear message to Pakistanis that nothing has been changed. There's going to be a consistency in the policy. There will be the same reign of terror and fear upon Pakistan. And Pakistan government has no say in the international community to challenge it under UN law that these arbitrary extrajudicial killing are destroying the very fabric of this nation. And they're pushing us toward more violence and terror than ever before.
All right, well, let me turn to Washington and get Mr. Richard Weitzman on this. Do you think that there will be a difference this time around as far as how Pakistan will respond to this situation? And do you think that Sharif can be different? How independent is Pakistan from Washington when concerning the situation with the drones?
Well, what we've heard so far is what was said by the previous government, in the sense that they also said the drone strikes must end and so on, and then they didn't really enforce a ban. Right now, we've seen a couple more drone strikes. The prime minister said he's going to bring this up in Washington and insist they end. They're certainly going down. From the independent observers who've looked at this, that the numbers of strikes in Pakistan have fallen a lot in the last year or so. But they probably will continue regardless of what comes out of the Washington meeting on a much smaller scale, just because occasionally there's a very high-value target, such as a strike recently against the number two person in the Pakistani Taliban, which I suspect the Pakistani government welcomed.
Okay, so you're basically saying, I want to make sure I have you right, Mr. Weiss, basically that the number of strikes have decreased, and in the long run, the Pakistani government is really not so against these strikes?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Basically, I think that they, you know, they would ideally like the strikes only to be directed against those targets that are threatening them. They would never say that. But I think that the Americans will continue the strikes. But, I mean, it depends somewhat on what happens after the combat troops from NATO leave. If the situation deteriorates, we'll probably see more strikes. If the Afghan army is able to stabilize the situation, we'll see less. Now, the Pakistani government can prevent them. I mean, they have an air force. If they wanted to, they could send their F-16s and shoot them down, but they've never done that.
Okay.
So
Let me pose that question to our guests in London. What about what our guests in Washington has said? If the Pakistani government is really against these drones, that the Pakistani military, they have an air force and they could shoot them down?
Before I answer this, let me say here, the difference is not between killing quickly and or killing softly, that they're going to be a less drone attacks or they're going to be a more drone attacks. The question is international law. The law says that every person has a right to due process. The human rights, the current drone attack contravenes the international human right law. It contravenes every international law in the world. You're going to go on and without any basis, legal basis, you are attacking a sovereign country on the basis that this country's government is too weak to react against these extra-arbitrary, extrajudicial killing. But let me enlighten your people sitting in Washington that there's a new government in KPK in the Pashtun area specifically, which is under this attack or which is facing the terrorism direct from TTP and other factors coming from across the border of Afghanistan. In terms of drone attack, yes, Pakistani government, current government and the previous government was obliged by the Washington that they had no power to react against these drone attacks. Instead, they have a static policy that whenever there is someone number two or number three or number four killed in Al-Qaeda, in the name of Al-Qaeda or TTP, that has been named and splashed all around the international newspapers and international media. But whenever there's a children get killed there, there's a civilian get killed there, nobody names them. You look at the pattern at the behind these drone attacks. Every time there's a children get killed, they're named suspected terrorists. Whenever there's a woman get killed, they say, oh, there's a suspected terrorist been killed. So the pattern remains the same. But the real question here is, these drone attacks this time are hitting the people who are pro negotiation, who want to see get some kind of a peace deal between TTP, Pakistan Tehreek Taliban Pakistan and the government of Pakistan. Mullah Nazir was assassinated. It was part of the same scheme. Now the Waliur Rahman, number two of TTP, who was very pro-negotiation, was in favor of peace talks. He's been got assassinated. Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, sitting member of parliament, got assassinated, Fareed Khan, because he was trying to negotiate some kind of a deal between TTP and Pakistani government.
Okay.
Across the border, Americans are ready to talk and discuss everything with the Afghani Taliban, but they are not ready to give Pakistan a chance.
All right, stay with me, Mr. Ali. I want to switch over to some Facebook comments that we have. Let's take a look at comment number one from Mr. Javed Najjar.
The Pakistani government can do nothing to stop such attacks. It is like a puppet in the hands of the American government.
Okay, what about that, Mr. White? How much is it because of Islamabad being a puppet in the hands of the Americans, as our viewer suggests?
I think it's more that the government doesn't have the capacity to prevent the terrorists from operating on parts of its territory. And so therefore, the U.S. or others are going to try and intervene. I think it's really a question of capacity. I suspect if they had the sufficient number of troops and were willing to take the casualties, they would do it, but they don't. And so the drone strikes are seen as the best option.
Let me just jump in here with what you're saying, Mr. White. You're saying that the drone strikes are seen as the best option. My question to you is, how many lives, innocent lives, are too many to lose? We're talking about, Washington says that it's going after terrorists, but we know that so many people that are killed there have nothing to do with any entity, terrorist entity, and are just civilians. So how many lives are too many lives as far as making this too high of a risk and too costly?
I would challenge your statement that many of the people that are being killed are innocent. We just don't know.
If Washington doesn't know if they're innocent or not, does it make it okay for them to kill?
Washington says, this is the Pentagon, says that the people they're hitting are terrorists. They have evidence of that. And occasionally, it's obviously in the incentive of the insurgents there to make it look like the people who were hit were not members of the insurgency. But so it's just they say, we say. As I was trying to say, what the U.S. had done before for a while was actually to send its helicopters in and send its troops in, and they would go on the ground. That way they could be sure of capturing and killing the terrorists. But the Pakistani government actually did shoot at the helicopters and told them, we can't do that. So the drones, I said, is something that both sides have pretty much decided it's the best solution for the moment.
All right. What about that, Mr. Altaf Ali? The best solution for the moment?
The best solution is give peace talks a chance. These drones are aggravating the situation on ground. Number one, they are counterproductive. They are killing innocent people. We have pictures, we have movies, we have video evidence. Everything is there. It's just that absolute control of media, state media and private media in Pakistan, which is putting a cover on this whole matter. But this time, since Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf has given a mandate in these KPK Pakistan Pakhtun areas as well, and especially Fatah, which has been governed by central government in Pakistan, we are contesting this. The central government of Mr. Nawaz Sharif and the PMLN has to take some solid step to stop these drone attacks. It needs to be challenged in UN under international law. There are more people who are on the ground who are more willing to talk and give peace a chance than continuing this reign of absolute killing of innocent people.
Okay.
And this is Washington has to come out of his policy of ambiguity, deceit, and deception.
What about that, Mr. Wise? We're talking about obvious, actually, crossing the lines of international law. What gives Washington the right to actually basically invade the sovereignty of another nation and do this?
I think that the lawyers justify this on the basis of self-defense and the fact that the government does consent. They just don't do it publicly.
Self-defense? United States is doing this for self-defense on the other side of the world?
Of Afghanistan. The insurgents are going into Afghanistan.
Go ahead, Mr. Ali. You want to comment?
Are they going to, if there is a matter of self-defense, does it mean tomorrow if Iran sends its drone in Pakistan, will America will allow that? Or will they set a precedent for China and Russia to send their drones against their against sovereign other territories like Taiwan or Georgia to go and kill their suspected terrorists? Will America will allow that? International law will allow that because America has set a precedent in Pakistan for over more than a decade?
Mr. Wise?
That is actually an excellent question because we've actually, that's come up in the last few months. The Chinese have said they were going to send out their drones, I think it was into Laos or Cambodia, to kill somebody who was capturing and kidnapping Chinese. They didn't, but that actually brought this issue to the U.S. attention. I think it's a good point. I think that's part of the reason why the Obama administration is trying to now be a bit clearer now on when it thinks it's acceptable to use drones and how limited it is, because you're right, they wouldn't want to set that kind of precedent. And any country could go and send drones and go and kill a member, attack other countries. So I think for the reason, a good reason that your other guest gave, that's one of the reasons why they're diminishing the use of the drones.
Because now perhaps others have the drone, but if only the United States had it, it would be okay. But if the possibility for China and other nations to do that, then that makes it somewhat questionable, Mr. Weitz?
Right. I think that's a factor in policy that hasn't entered the debate until recently. I mean, the debate here was, well, if you send in the drones, are you actually creating more terrorists than you're killing? What are the benefits? What kind of reaction are you going to get from the regional governments? And so far, they think that the drones have been very effective in disrupting terrorist attacks. They think the Pakistani authorities wink and accept them. And same with Yemen, same with other countries.
Right.
But now they've got this other development coming on that you've got a lot of countries having these capabilities, as your previous guest said, and that's another factor now going to weigh into the decision.
Okay, stay with me, please. I want to switch over to another comment by one of our Facebook viewers from Mr. Mojahed Ali. Let's listen up.
What a joke. Do you really think Nawaz Sharif can stop these attacks while Nawaz is a puppet of America and especially Saudi Arabia?
Okay, Mr. Atif Ali, I posed that question that our viewer posed, basically a comment saying that we really think that Nawaz Sharif can stop these attacks because he's a puppet of America and especially Saudi Arabia. Your take, sir.
Majority understands that it's the current government and the previous government has been installed. I won't say they won a democratic. Yes, they had a bit of a majority, but they didn't have a clear, overwhelming majority, which we've seen in the recent election, which were more or less, I have every right to say a bit of engineering from outside Pakistan. Of course, these people have been arm twisted. Pakistan is under heavy financial troubles. In desperate need of cash. There's a problem of energy crisis going on in Pakistan. There's a law and order problem going on in Pakistan. There's a liquidity problem going on in Pakistan. Of course, Pakistani government can't do anything. Is the American going to dictate each and everything? Now Pakistani government has to go to IMF. It means that that in terms of his sovereignty, when it comes to, in bracket, drone attack, arbitrary extrajudicial killing going on in Pakistan, they have no say. It's just a testing ground to develop this technology to protect American, so-called American interests after they leave Afghanistan. This drone is not going to leave Pakistan for next 50 years until, unless we in Pakistan, Tehreek Insaf, believe that this has been taken into international court and this has been challenged within under the UN law. There is no other way out. America will continue its process of policy of killing Pakistanis, and Pakistani installed government will keep on going protesting against them, and the equation remains the same.
Well, Mr. Weiss, in your perspective, what is the main reason why is the United States in Pakistan and conducting these drone attacks?
Because that's where the Afghan Taliban has established safe havens and are using the facility to rearm, re-equip, and send its fighters across the border. Your guest said we need to put more emphasis on the peace talks, and that is probably a correct suggestion, that if we can negotiate a settlement, the insurgents stop using the borders, then the Americans stop using the drones. With the caveat being, of course, that there are some other groups there, such as Europeans and Turks, for example, that are based there that want to attack facilities in Europe. But I think that the Pakistani government could control that.
Okay, your take, Mr. Ali, and what our guest just said. They're there because of Taliban pockets. Your take.
The biggest issue is the presence of foreign occupying forces in Afghanistan. Afghanistan, everybody knows that by logic, is a greater geographical area compared to Fatah, the small area in Pakistan. The main instigator is happening, instigator are sitting in Afghanistan. They give the line to Islamist fighters that there is a foreign occupying forces sitting in Afghanistan, and they give them a right for jihad narrative. If we want to have a peace, the first thing is to change this jihad narrative. First thing is to remove these international occupying forces from Pakistan, from Afghanistan. To put them all the stakeholders, the real stakeholders, that is the people of Afghanistan. That is people who have really have their lives, who have to live in this area, in Fatah, in Pashtun area, in Afghanistan, to both sides of the borders. Not the stakeholders that have been picked and chose by Americans and installed their way of solution, American-made solution, which never going to work. We need a local Loya Jirga system. We need local stakeholders. And we need a more regional solution. That's what American policymakers have to understand.
And are you optimistic, Mr. Ali, that soon you will be able to get that solution?
Absolutely. We think we can reduce this terrorism. It's all about identifying, isolating, and eliminating that hardcore terrorist, which are trying, so-called Al-Qaeda, whatever you name them. Just to get them identified, we need to isolate them from the major population. And to win the population, we have to fix some basics before we come jump to the main conclusion that we're going to go for the peace. The prerequisites of peace are not there. And America is trying its best to make sure these prerequisites are not there before they leave to 2014.
Okay.
Afghanistan.
And on that note, I'd like to thank both my guests for being with us right here on The Debate. Out of London, Mr. Atif Ali from the Pakistan Movement for Justice. And out of Washington, Mr. Richard Weiss, Director of the Center for Political Military Analysis from the Hudson Institute. Thank you both for being with us, and thank you, viewers, for being with us. And make sure you join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashmi, signing off for The Debate right here in Tehran. Thanks so much, and goodbye.